St. Paul mentions that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he talks about what a good steward is. But really, in a sense, all three of these readings are about stewardship, something we talk about often in the church. And stewardship is really very simple. It's, first of all, recognizing in a humble fashion that I am not responsible for myself, that everything comes from God, my talents, my gifts, my intelligence, my very life comes from God, and I am dependent on God for that, and that's okay. And then secondly, stewardship is having recognized that, I give back to God with a spirit of generosity like Christ. Christ, St. Paul says, offered his life as a pleasing sacrifice on the cross. And one of the things we do here in liturgy every Sunday morning is we offer our lives as a pleasing sacrifice. That Eucharistic prayer that we'll pray in a few minutes asks that God would accept us as a pleasing sacrifice. The only sacrifice being Christ is not the only sacrifice being offered here. Our lives are as well. This is what stewardship is. This is what happens in God. Father, Son, and Spirit are offering themselves, laying down their lives for each other all the time and receiving that back from the other two. This is what love is. This is what God is. This is who we are, who are created in God's image and likeness. But we see in Jesus the perfect human. We see in Jesus what God envisions for humanity. And that looks like someone who is not worried about the next meal, who is willing to be an itinerant preacher with nowhere to lay his head, who is willing to put his life out there in total risk all the way to the death. Why? Because he instinctively knows, because of this interior experience of the love of the other two, he knows that even his death will not be the end. There will be resurrection. It's this spirit of generosity, this willingness to make ourselves vulnerable. It's been said often that people who are self-made, who start with nothing and build their own empire, as it were, tend to be very generous with their money because they have this confidence that when it runs out, they can always make more. People who inherit, by and large, tend to be more conservative with their money. They're not as quick to reach for their wallet at dinner table as the self-made people because they have this deep-seated fear that when it's gone, it's gone. And that they will somehow be dishonoring their parents who gave them that money if they don't take good care of it. Well, Jesus is the Son of the Father who has been given everything. He is the great inheritor. But he acts like a self-made man. He has this abandon. He has this willingness to give it all because he recognizes that after he gives it all and there is nothing left on the cross, the last breath, that there will be more because God's love is infinite. And so in inviting us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, those were the words on his lips in last week's gospel. He's inviting us into divine life. He's inviting us into a share in his own divinity so that we might be perfect humans just as Jesus is the Son. As adopted daughters and sons of our Heavenly Father, we are inheritors. One of the things Jesus says often in the Gospels is, I don't call you slaves and I don't even call you friends. I call you brothers and sisters. You are members of the household. You are inheritors of the kingdom. Everything that is mine is yours. And so I encourage you to have that same sense of abandon that I have. And so don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just look at the birds of the air and look at the flowers of the field. They don't put storage in barns. they're not guarded. They live their lives in flight and absolute insecurity, and yet God clothes them with more splendor than Solomon. And God takes care of their every need, and if God loves those insignificant creatures that much, then surely he loves you. Now, Jesus would say to us, I get it. I know that you have to make a living. I know that you have to put clothes on your back, and I know you have to take care of your families and all that. I get it. But stop obsessing about that. Stop worrying about that as if that somehow were you, how well you provide or how much you store up or how you dress or where you live or what you drive. And don't make the mistake of thinking that that is you or that that has anything to do with the eternal gifts that God is offering you. Stop obsessing about the little things and allow yourself to be drawn up into the infinity of God. Allow yourself to be loved as God wants to love you. We often make that mistake of thinking that God has abandoned us, that God has left us. And that's the words put in the mouth of Zion, Israel, Jerusalem, in that first reading. My God, my Lord, has abandoned me. No, he hasn't. God never abandons us. We abandon God. The problem is on our end, not on God's end. And Jesus came to announce that good news, that gospel to us. That even if a mother would forget her child, which is almost unthinkable, even if she should forget, God will never forget you. God's love is boundless, it is infinite, and it is aimed directly at you. So stop worrying. Relax. Bask in the love. Have the self-confidence that Jesus had, the confidence that comes from love, and live your life recklessly. Live your life generously. Give, and it will be given back to you 100-fold. Love, and you will be loved. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. These words are on the lips of Jesus almost constantly throughout the gospel because he wants to invite us into divine life. He wants to invite us into that same experience of infinite love that the Father, Son, and the Spirit have shared with each other for all eternity. That's our destiny. That's who we were meant to be. That's the experience of divine, infinite love that we were intended to have forever. So open yourself. Let go of this guarded, protective, security-minded attitude. Open up and make yourself vulnerable. Allow yourself to receive what is your destiny.